Doug Christie. He's a 15-year NBA veteran. Jason Ross. He's not. It's Doug Christie and Jason Ross on Sports 1140 KHDK.
Back here on KHDK, Jason Ross, DC. Final hour here of the show on this Thursday. It's a This Day Thursday. And on this day in 1999, the inaugural game at the Seattle Mariners Safeco Field field was held in Seattle, Washington. There you go, DC. A little homage to you. It says.
Did they know that the season started in April?
Doug?
Listen, I'm not. Chris can't even go to my city. Unless
he won't go to your city.
I saw WrestleMania 19 there.
Yeah, before you were talking crap about it, they let you in. Now, it's not a thing.
Why do you think I talk crap about it? Because I went there.
Yeah, because you got people looking for you now. Well, just because you didn't have the right guide, I mean, that means absolutely nothing. Hey, speaking of, French Toast came to mind. Is the Tower Cafe open?
Oh, yeah, you guys were talking about that.
Did it open up?
Text communication.
Well, do you just text it to us and then
I didn't text it to you.
Who texted it to us?
I don't know.
You saw it in a text.
Somewhere. I thought while
somebody
I was on vacation.
Somebody sent it. Jay, was that you?
Maybe it was Jay. Who knows?
I told you where to go to.
No, you didn't. Well, I didn't ask you where to go. I know where to go for my French toast, and that's.
Oh, you've been to Bacon and Butter?
No, I have not.
Oh. Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
Well, maybe you should go to Tower Cafe.
I have.
Okay, well, then you would know.
That's why I said it.
That's why I go.
That's why it's time for five on it.
Own it!
I got five on it. I got five. A look at the top five at five. A spin around the nation to hear five stories. Five people, five opinions. This is I Got Five on It.
All right, today on Five on It, we'll check in on what's the latest with Conor McGregor, the Aaron Rodgers situation. We'll go to Orlando, check in with the latest with the Orlando Magic. But let's start right here locally first. Mike Bush, Davis Enterprise Sports Editor, joining us. The story we brought up yesterday about the UC Davis baseball program, very bizarre, very early in the details. Mike, what can you add to this? What is known, really, at this point about this situation?
Really, the only thing that's known right now is what's out there, what I've reported, what all the other media outlets have done here in the Sacramento area. I mean, it is mind-boggling without question, you know. It's just a matter of, okay, what is this investigation? What is it all about? But again, the one thing I've told a few people already in the last 24 hours, you just got to let the channels go through and let UC Davis do its investigation.
Mike, when you see something like this, I mentioned to Jason yesterday that this type of a thing, it kind of goes along the lines with death penalty. I know that we got to let things go out. Have you seen anything like this where it's like coaches, players, everything is shut down?
I haven't seen anything like this, I don't think, ever. I believe it was 2, maybe 3 years ago. I believe the story is that UC Davis band was involved in a hazing incident, but I think the final result was a slap on the wrist and don't do it again and move forward. You guys probably remember that from about, like I said, it was about 2 or 3 years ago.
So I know we have to wait. Is there any kind of word on the timeline of this investigation? How much information is needed to be gathered to really see if where the baseball program is going to go?
Well, I know they said it was going to be around the fall semester, which is going to start September 20th. The question becomes why is it taking 2 months to investigate it? So, you know, I don't want to speculate, but it must be something bigger. That's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they just want to make sure that the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed.
Mike, can you answer this question? Is it an NCAA investigation? Is it a school investigation? And if whichever one, is there a third party that's involved that has an objective viewpoint?
Doug, nobody's saying anything right now. This is so tight-lit. It's just, you know, and that's just the way UC Davis wants it, obviously, which is understandable. It wants to do its investigation, and once its investigation is complete, then we will all find out. Until then, I just don't want to speculate.
I got you.
Yeah, and then the last thing here, it's just baseball, correct? Right, and there's nothing else connected to anybody else.
All I know is that what's been reported, and that was with UC Davis baseball, that all the players and coaches are on suspension, and we're just going to wait and see what happens. I mean, there's not a whole lot we can do. I mean, we all want to get answers. There's no question about that. You know, the question is that can we get it before around September 20th? Could it be sooner? That would be great. But again, we just have to wait and see.
Keep following the story. Thank you, Mike. That's Mike Bush, Davis Enterprise sports editor. Let's go to topic two on Five on It. We go to Orlando. The Magic Beat reporter for the Orlando Sentinel is Chris Hayes. And Chris joining us. Chris, new direction there in Orlando. So brand new coach. How has that been received in the area?
It's been received quite well, actually. Jamal Mosley, obviously the guy who's in charge now, he's really been received well, and he's a very charismatic guy, a personable guy, and I think everybody's kind of buying into at least the personality he shares with everyone.
Chris, do you look at this as Aaron Gordon leaves? Is this a total rebuild? How are they selling this to the fan base?
Oh, there's no doubt it's a total rebuild, and they're young. They have most of the key pieces on the team are below 23, either 23 or below in age, except for a couple of decent veterans. And this is really kind of starting from scratch. Jamal Mosley, of course, starting from scratch as a head coach as well. So how he will translate to the floor as far as his personality remains to be seen. But right now it looks like a good start.
Chris, a couple of those guys on that young list that have come off or coming off of injuries, whether that's Jonathan Isaac or Markelle Fultz, kind of what's the future of those two young, talented players?
Well, J.I.'s been injury-prone, obviously. He feels good now. I think that coming back this season is not going to be a problem. Markelle Fultz getting hurt in January, that might be a little bit tough to come back right away in terms of the start of this coming season, but that remains to be seen. And the Magic are always very hesitant about bringing back guys too fast. So they will take their time. They're not in a hurry with them. And so that remains to be seen. But those are two guys that they will build this team around.
With that, I believe it's a fifth pick in the draft.
Five and eight.
Is there a direction that you think the organization will go? What would you like to see them do? Or is this just strictly, hey, we're going the best talent that's there, that's how we're doing it?
Well, nobody on this team is really a legitimate scorer they can count on every night. So they got to have a scorer. They got to have a shooter. And I think that I would be really surprised if you didn't see that number five pick go in that direction. And then I'm not sure if they want to go with big guy in the middle for the number eight pick or maybe just another decent shooting guard. But they do need scoring, and they need it quick.
Yeah, this is a team that's going through its transformation. Thank you, Chris. We appreciate that. Chris Hayes giving us some perspective on the Orlando Magic. Actually, at 5 and 8, they can package that, keep it, do some different, you know, maybe take a flyer on the 8 compared to the 5.
You know, when I think about that, I would have to, at this point, I think you kind of have to draft unless you're getting a type of talent. And I don't know that I see that. Like, are you going to be able to 5 and 8 and get yourself a talent that's going to take you based upon some of these players you got around them? I don't think so.
All right, let's go to our next topic here, Doug. Aaron Rodgers' situation's not resolved. It's still out there. What is happening with him? Is he going to report? Is he going to be on the Packers? Are they going to trade him? What's going on? Here's Adam Schefter, the latest on this situation.
It just has never sounded like it's about money. I think this is much deeper than that. I think this is, as he himself has alluded to, about people, about culture, about the way the organization is and has run. And I don't know that money addresses that.
Yeah, it hasn't sounded like it's about that with him, too. And I don't know if it's an overtime thing where, you know what, maybe that bothered me before, but now I'm bothered by other things. And that thing that the GM does bothers me. Well, and them not doing this play bothers me now. Now you just start to add it all up and I want out of here, that kind of thing.
What's your – I don't know if you and I have ever had this conversation about this. What's your gut feeling that – why?
Somewhere in the inner workings of just maybe decisions by the people that would be deemed above him, the decision makers of what they've done, whether that's not giving him the receiver, questionable, you know, not kicking the field goal. I mean, that's isolated thing. I don't think I could say it's one thing, but it's maybe making the coaching change, picking the coach they did. I think he gets to the spot where he's comfortable with everything, not having the receiver. Okay, drafting a quarterback in his spot. A lot of those things, I think it's just kind of a cumulative, like, wait, I'm the guy. Like, what are you doing? That kind of stuff. I think that's – it's not one thing. I think it's a bunch of things.
I think you might be right. It's like – and then let's say he also sees, like, Tom had all this success in New England. And then it comes to an end. And even during that success, they continue to figure out ways to stay very competitive, winning Super Bowls. And then he leaves 1 year and just like, bang. And then he comes into your house and beats you. And I would agree with you, the calls and different stuff. It has to be cumulative to the point that, do you think Aaron is at the point where he's like, I'm done?
Like, just done playing unless he gets
No, meaning done with them. I'm done with you guys.
It feels like that's where he is now, and not just a threat. But at what point, if they're really not going to trade him, is he just not going to play?
I would. You know what I want to see happen? I want to see Jeopardy call him up and give him the job. And then what does he do?
I don't know. I don't know if he truly. I bet he enjoyed that.
Yeah,
but is that what he wants to do?
No, well, it could be.
Yeah.
But at this point in his life, let me say that. Because he's really good at football.
Yeah.
But if Jeopardy came along, would he just be like, "You know what? I'm out." And maybe come back, but be done, because that's kind of the elephant in the room in this situation, is for him to start going down that path. And now for them to just kind of say to him, you know what? We're not trading.
Yeah.
And they're not looking.
Right. And the other part, too, is I think what we said from the beginning, I think they would be more than comfortable of trading him if they fully bought into Jordan Love. And I don't think they're there yet.
Which,
like, if you had the next guy, it's like, oh, we'll move Aaron Rodgers because we're going to get
some
good
toys. I'll give you an example. When they had Favre,
they were comfortable. Yeah, go ahead.
In this particular instance, they're not. Which even doubles down on Aaron because he's saying, like, yo, man.
I told you drafted wrong, and now I'm proving it because you can't replace me.
You can replace me.
Yeah.
And you have a Super Bowl-ready team. I won't, whatever, but they were right there.
Yeah.
I'll even say he made the wrong decision. He should have ran that ball. But the point is, if that's your guy – when he was in that position, meaning Aaron, he was the guy.
Right.
This guy obviously is not. I would actually like to see Jordan Love get some time, and let's see where he's at with it.
Yeah. All right, let's go to our next topic here, DC, and it's Conor McGregor. And McGregor. He's talking about, you know, the big injury, had the stress fracture. He talks about when it was injured.
I was injured going into the fight. People are asking me, when was the leg broke? At what point did the leg break? Ask Dana White, ask the UFC, ask Dr. Davidson, the head doctor of the UFC. They knew I had a stress fractures in my leg going into that cage. There was debate about pulling the thing out because I was sparring with no shin pads and I kicked the knee a few times. So I had multiple stress fractures in the shin bone above the ankle. And then I have trouble with the ankle anyway, do you know what I mean, throughout the years of fighting all the time.
So he says UFC knew, he knew, others knew that his leg was in, not the exact situation we see at the end of the fight, but was vulnerable, I guess, before the fight.
I'd like to hear UFC say that, because he was distributing some leg kicks at the beginning of that fight.
That wouldn't lend you to believe that was the case.
Hell no.
If you knew that going in, are you leading that way?
Hell no.
Right.
But he had to. Because Poirier, in the number two, destroyed his leg to the point where I believe he was like on a hopper roller deal when he left or something. You know, he didn't walk out, in other words. So that was what I'm going to do to counteract that, is I'm attacking your leg this time. And, I mean, some of those legs, I was like, ooh, damn. So unless I had to look back now and see, did he kick him with his other leg? And he may have. I can't remember, but If the UFC, if they had came out and said, yeah, we did know he had multiple stress fractures and he chose to fight anyway. Because the way that it broke, I would say as he stepped back and he caught his toe, I have to watch it again. He must have been lunging, so he pushed, put power. Just landing like that, that's kind of like spraining your ankle. But that it wasn't like, yeah. Doesn't matter at this particular point.
Nope.
We'll have to see. From my understanding, they put a rod in and they put a plate and screws in because he broke both bones in a leg. If he's able to come back. He started out great, started to wane there, and Poirier ain't to be trifled with, man. He ain't backing down. That's for dang sure.
No, and I just – again, I asked the question before. I mean, I still think there is a draw and an appeal to Conor McGregor, but at some point you can't keep losing and keep.
Well, part of it is he because he's willing to continue to bark.
Yeah,
people want to see that fall. That I think is the intrigue of that. It's like when he was talking and backing it up, it's like woo. Now it's like. He's talking and people want to see him fall, so they're going to tune in and they're going to pay money and they want to see him lose, in other words.
Quick question. I was going to ask that question. Would you guys pay to watch another Conor McGregor fight?
Yeah, I'm paying. Yep. Absolutely.
I'm less likely.
I think I'm out.
Okay.
Yeah. Chris?
I think I said earlier, like, I've seen too many gross things happen in UFC lately. I'm going to be out for a while.
I mean, for somebody who watches all the movies and stuff that he watches, like
I'm gonna
a little broken leg.
I'm gonna share a little secret.
A little broken leg, tibia had to.
Yeah, I'm just
right. Little broken leg.
I mean, this is what
we
do.
And it was the second time. That was like the second major like UFC pay per view where that's happened, where like a guy just has his like leg.
Oh yeah,
mangled.
I mean, I'm an Anderson Silva guy. That's my guy.
But snap.
And when he kicked and it was checked and on the check it just.
Yeah, I'm out.
I'm going to share.
You guys are out?
I'm going to share a little secret with you, DC.
Oh, really?
The difference between movies and UFC.
Which is?
Movies aren't real.
Chris, stop.
Oh, my God.
Stop it.
That's not the
whole
point.
When MacGruber pulled someone's throat out,
that
wasn't
real.
A real throat.
Well, MacGruber can do anything.
Yeah, he can.
I would pay to watch MacGruber fight.
I mean, but even it's just the visual of it, like... Okay, I see where you're going, Chris.
That doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me.
It's just,
I mean, I'll take that back.
I don't think anybody
enjoys it.
But
it does bother me. Like when Gordon Hayward, I was just like, oh. But also, it's a sport that I played in. Listen, you think about that, but you kind of know going in. But it's okay, Chris. You're okay with him getting punched in the head and then having a hematoma on the head. You're okay with all that, right?
When that one fighter with her head like split open, no,
uh-huh.
I wasn't good with that.
You weren't. Hey, listen, man, it's part of the deal.
And I don't have to watch it.
Okay, don't.
Yeah, that's
to answer
point.
Your question, Chris, Jay, your boy's tuning in.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the mystique about Conor McGregor now?
Because it's he's not from America, but a lot of times, and I've been in this position. As you fall, that's the can they get back? Because there's a chance. The greatness is in there. We've watched it.
But
everyone's caught up and the gig's up.
But this is why I say I'm out, is because
you come by the crib.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
I'll bring a bottle. The next fight. It's going to definitely be a cupcake, right? He has to fight a cupcake. He's got to still play
kinda
his
like
leg. We have to
cowboy who he fought, and everybody's like
Cerrone.
Yeah, well, I'm not.
I'm not calling him a cupcake.
Yeah, but I'm saying someone he should be.
He should be at that point of cowboy's career. Have you met him earlier? Maybe not so much.
I even think this one is even going to be more of a walkover, a cupcake, because. He's got a steel plate in his leg, and we need to see if he can do anything. How old is Conor? 32? 3?
Something like that.
See, July. It was his birthday yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
It just didn't happen on a Thursday.
Yeah.
We would have had him in.
Yeah, of course, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe, I just don't think he, I think we know what we got. He reached a pinnacle.
So, yeah, it's to me, it, I guess my question, because I'm looking now at his rundown. Like, so he's lost three of his last four.
Yeah.
Four of his last six. Is it the people he's fighting against, or is he dropping off? I mean, you know,
well, he's also
lost to Poirier twice.
Is he comfortable?
He's lost to, I'm going to butcher his name,
Nurmagomedov.
Yeah. And then Diaz.
Everybody's lost to him.
Yeah. And Diaz is tough.
The truth,
fought,
too.
They split.
No, Diaz,
two fights,
Diaz is the real deal, man. Actually, he don't, until the blood start flowing, he ain't really feeling it.
But 22-6, it's good. It's really good. But now it's losing three of your last, like, there was a time where he talked, and he was great. Like, I don't know who could beat him. Now it's he loses a lot.
You think it's the satin sheet, yo?
Yeah, I think, honestly, I think he's
and that's why
he made a ton of money.
I got to say this before we
he's
go.
He's comfortable.
What's the man quarterback for the
Russell Wilson.
No.
Joe Montana.
Dan Marino.
Dang, you guys.
Steve Young.
Boomer Esiason.
Come on, the Ravens.
Stan Humphries.
Joe Flacco.
Neil O'Donnell.
No. Come on.
Oh, for the Ravens. Trent Dilfer.
Yeah. No, you guys, come on.
Tony Banks.
Come on. Lamar Jackson.
Kyle. Kyle. Why did you say Lamar Jackson from the beginning?
But he was criticized for going on the asphalt.
Yeah,
and the one,
playing pickup basketball,
for me,
football stuff.
Sometimes you got to go to the essence, man. And I think that when you say Conor McGregor on the silk sheets, like – part of that is you always – there has to be that Rocky Balboa thing. You got to take it back.
Eric Zier.
Stay.
Tony Banks.
I was thinking Lamar.
Elvis Gerback.
Lamar Jackson. Oh, that's a good one. Come on. I hate you guys.
Let me find some more here. RG3, Matt Shaw.
Hey, man, you heard my man said it's a break time.
Ryan Mallett.
Oh, God.
Troy Smith.
Hey, Ryan Mallett, that is a great pull right there.
Stoney Case.
6'6", Arkansas.
Scott Mitchell.
Break.
Trace McSorley.
Break. Right.
We'll be back. Damon Hack, the
Penn
Golf
State.
Channel. He will join us next on KHTK. Good knowledge.
Come on, kids. Gather round.
Final half hour here of the show. Crossover coming up in our next segment. Damon Hack to be joining us here in a moment from the Golf Channel, a friend here of the show. This day, Thursday, 2005, Wedding Crashers premiered. You see that movie?
No.
You never saw Wedding Crashers?
No, never seen it.
It's a good movie.
It has not aged well.
I thought it did okay. No?
But, so, is it a good movie or is it not?
I'd say good.
Who's
if
stars?
It were to come out now, there would be a lot of problems.
Oh, okay. So, things were said, things were done?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Got it?
Got it?
Should I check it out?
I would say yeah. Chris, you say no?
You've never seen it before?
No. Have you ever seen Harlem Nights?
No, I did.
Really?
I would say no.
Saw one of the greatest movies ever.
How have I done with my movie suggestions for you, DC?
Let's see. Yeah, you've been pretty solid, actually.
You could set this one out.
Oh, you don't need to see it.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, I mean... I'm not saying it's a must-see, but...
No, I'm intrigued.
Okay. All right. Well, it is a start of the Open. British Open got started earlier today, very, very earlier today for us. Round one, friend of the show. Know him here locally as well from his time in Sacramento. Let's bring on Damon Hack from the Golf Channel. Damon, Jason Ross, Doug Christie here. How are you?
Jason and Doug, good to be with you. How you guys been?
We're great. How are things with you?
Things are good. I'm living on the East Coast. Golf Channel relocated to Connecticut. Because of COVID, I'm not at the Open, but I'm still monitoring all the shots and enjoying the final major championship of the year on the men's side.
There you go.
Wait, so as the – I mean, I envision you at the Golf Channel golfing when you're not on set. Like, how much golf do you get to play?
Yeah, that's the one, like – dirty little secret is that we work at Golf Channel and don't play as nearly as much golf as we used to. I wish I was out at like Hagen Oaks or Teal Bend where I used to play back in the day. Ansel Hoffman, all those great spots. If they're still around, I mean, we're talking the late 90s now when I was in Sacramento.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. They're ready for you.
Oh, yes. are we going to see any punches between DeChambeau and Koepka?
That's a great question, man. This is more NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball than what we're used to seeing in golf. Brooks really kind of making no bones about his dislike for Bryson and the fact that they had a pact as far as Brooks was concerned, that they wouldn't talk about each other in the media. And Brooks feels that Bryson broke that pact. So now he feels like Bryson is fair game. If they're paired together, it's going to be fascinating to see the lack of words exchanged, other than maybe, you know, I'm playing a Bridgestone ball and that's it, you know, on the first tee. And that's probably the last we'll see them speak all round. But this has been a very interesting storyline in golf. It's meaty, it's different, but by most people's estimation, in mine as well, it may be bringing some eyeballs, but it may also be kind of running its course as well. Hmm.
Damien, I asked Jason this, and I'm be interested in your answer. Is there any way that they get paired together for the Ryder Cup and have to put this aside for their country?
So that's another great question. They will not be paired as a team. Steve Stricker, the captain, would not put those two together. We saw Tiger and Phil grouped together as a team in 2004 when they were both really bitter rivals. Not nearly, and not that they're close now, but they are at least more amicable now in their golden years of their career than they were at the height of their power in the mid-2000s. Steve Stricker has said, the captain, this is a distraction. Both of you know, there's not a coach around that welcomes distractions. They want to minimize distractions. They're going to already be a talking point because they're going to have to share a team room. They're going to both be on that 12-man roster at Whistling Straits this fall. But there's no way that Steve Stricker would put those two guys together. Brooks said no way. Bryson said, oh, sure, I'd like it to be fun. He's speaking out of the side of his mouth. He does not want to be paired with Brooks Koepka as far as being a teammate is concerned. And this is something that's going to be a storyline that Steve Stricker is going to have to deal with. The European team is always cohesive, always finding a way to play the underdog role, and most often finding a way to beat the U.S. This could be a problem for the U.S. in a couple months' time.
Oh, boy.
Damon Hack from the Golf Channel joining us. On that front, when did this start with those two? I mean, you're right. They're both pretty open about it now that they're talking about it. How legit is it, and when did it start, this feud?
Yeah, it started a few years ago when Brooks was asked about slow play and mentioned Bryson DeChambeau specifically. Bryson is very methodical, all about kind of weights and measures and the wind this and the dew that, and this club does this, and what if I take it back to 8 o'clock instead of 10 o'clock? So before he hits a shot, there are a lot of calculations going on. And if you're paired with him or if you're in the group behind him, you're going to be staring at the back of his tangle for a lot of your round. And Brooks was not shy in bringing him up. So then Bryson kind of attacked Brooks in the media, and they started this back and forth. And then finally, Bryson said to Brooks's caddy, have your man come speak to me if he has something to say. This happened during the playoffs a couple of years ago in New York. So Brooks, not afraid of Bryson, approached him on the putting green, and that's what Brooks said. They had the man-to-man talk and decided they would not bring up the other person in the media anymore. They agreed to disagree. Brooks says that Bryson broke that pact when he was on Twitch on that video game, and he was bagging on Brooks. Something about, the fact that he wasn't as strong physically as Bryson because Bryson had put on all this weight. So once Bryson took that extra step beyond that conversation where Brooks said, we're not talking about each other anymore, Brooks has decided it's fair game, inciting the fans to heckle Bryson and say, call Bryson Brooks. And, I'll buy beer for whoever heckles Bryson and calls him Brooks. So it's just gotten ugly. It's gotten out of control. And every time these guys sit down now for a media session, it's question 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, A, B, C, D, and E is about the other guy and this feud that's currently going on.
Well, Damon, two Americans that haven't won, and it's kind of building more for one than the other, Ricky Fowler and Tony Finau. If I had to say to you, who do you think wins a major first?
Wow, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Both players have knocked on the door. Ricky has that Players' Championship from back in 2015, which is the closest thing you can do to winning a major, short of doing exactly that. I believe, as someone who has a little more seasoning, he's expecting a child, just seems to have kind of put some of his swing troubles behind him, just wants his putter to heat up a little bit. I still give Ricky a bit of an edge over Tony, who I think is starting to hear the voices about the fact that he only has that one win in Puerto Rico, which was an opposite field event in 2016. Tony is a sweetheart of a guy. In an era of sports media where you need to have a little bit of the guy in the rated R movie. And he's just a good man, family man. Everybody loves playing with him. He talked about adopting a Mamba mentality a couple of years ago. He was a big Kobe Bryant fan, and when Kobe passed away, he, you know, donned his jersey and wrote his name down on his shoes in Phoenix and really played a great tournament, ended up losing that playoff to Webb Simpson. He talks about adopting a Mamba mentality. It's one thing to talk about it, you guys, but it's another thing to really find a way to kind of be that guy inside the ropes. And I think he's still trying to figure out, how do I be a little bit more selfish, mean, feisty on Sundays and kind of take the fight to the field and the course as opposed to being victimized by it on Sundays.
Just tell him, go hang out with Brooks and Bryson. There you go.
And that would be very good practice for Tony. It might get a little edge, grow a little hair on his chest.
Damon Hack from the Golf Channel joining us. So the Open's underway. Louis Oosthuizen has had a great year. A couple of second place finishes. He's the leader after today. You got Spieth up there and a couple others. Anything from today that changed your opinion of how you thought this weekend might play out, or playing as you thought? Like, kind of, where do you think we are after day one?
Yeah, I think we're in a great spot. You know, Koepka was one under, very much in touch. Louis has become also kind of a hard luck figure in the game. He's 38 years of age. He won that major in 2010 at the Open, and since then he's had a bunch of runner-up finishes. Early in his career, he was questioned by those close to him, Ernie Els, a mentor, his former coach Pete Cowan, that he just didn't have enough fire in his belly to turn one major championship into 3, 4, or 5. He says now at the age of 38, he's got the fire. His kids have gotten a little bit older. He has kind of refocused his attention to winning major championships. He desperately wants to win major number two. And then there's Jordan Spieth, you guys, has seen the bottom of the barrel. He's someone who he could win 20 majors and would be like, if I don't have 21, my career's a disappointment. There are some guys who just wake up never satisfied, and he's someone who has come through this struggle of the last few years on the other side, winning in San Antonio earlier this year, and now knowing that the comeback really won't be complete until he wins major number four. But there are guys like Tiger, Jack, Tom Watson, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, who almost hate losing more than they love winning. So I think seeing Jordan Spieth near the top of his leaderboard in a venue, in a golf tournament, in an Open championship, which he's won before, where imagination and short game are so important. No surprise to see him there. I expect to see his name on the leaderboard on Sunday.
Any chance that the 12-foot birdie putt that put Rory at even par may spawn something or light a fire under him, that this could be a magical weekend for Rory?
Yeah, this is someone we've wanted to see fight. Someone that when things go sideways, especially over the last 7 years since he's won his last major championship, we've wondered kind of, is he one of those players who was so successful early and made so much money early? It's almost like that scene in Rocky III where, you know, he's gotten civilized. He's got to go train with Apollo Creed. Go train with Apollo Creed in the hood in the gym where there's no air conditioning, you know, and get out of that suburban lifestyle. There's a little bit of that in Rory McIlroy, who's very comfortable, successful off the golf course, has an instruction series on Golf Channel called Golf Pass. He's won 2 FedEx Cups with that $10 million plus bonus, 4-time major champ, father now, married, comfortable. I miss the kind of hungry, freewheeling Rory. He will admit that at times his motivation has ebbed and flowed. I think he's wide awake right now. He knows that he cannot be an all-time great without adding to his major championship total of 4. He wants to be the greatest European golfer of all time. The only way he does that is through when he's adding major championships to the resume.
Last thing, Damon, who's winning then? Who do you think's holding the trophy at the end?
You know what? My pick before the week was Brooks Koepka. I think he's tired of of kind of being in the mix and not bringing home the trophy. He's feisty. He's a little bit angry. I love his honesty. He believes that the majors are the easiest to win. They have his attention. He shot under par 69 today. I think Brooks Koepka adds a fifth major championship. He got close enough to the lead with 54 holes left to play to get it done. Got a Northern Irish caddy and Ricky Elliott kind of showing him the humps and hawls of Lynx golf. So pay attention to Brooks Koepka on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And he celebrates with Bryson.
That's a negative.
Well, we'll see. Damon, we appreciate the time. We always love catching up with you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Great stuff, D. Appreciate you.
916. Appreciate you guys.
There you go. Damon Hack, the great Damon Hack from the Golf Channel joining us. We will break. When we come back, we have the final segment, including the crossover. That is next here on KHDK. Final segment of the show, Jason Ross, Doug Christie. Thanks again to our guest today, Seth Everett, who joined us in the 4 o'clock hour moments ago, checking in with Damon Hack. Interesting, Damon's sticking with Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka. So we'll see how that goes. And by the way, our British Open coverage is brought to you by Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality. Tomorrow on the show, Mikella Weatherspoon from the 49ers. Join us at 4 o'clock tomorrow. So we look forward to that.
Yeah, show favorite.
Yes, absolutely. And again, another reminder, the Capital Casino is back with indoor gaming and dining.
Did you say 49ers?
What's that?
Did you say former 49er?
I said from the 49ers?
Former. Where's he at now?
They don't have good Mexican food up there.
Yeah. Listen, man. You know what I'm going to get? I'm going to get MacGruber to teach me that that throat grab thing. Yeah, he's with Seahawks.
He's a Seahawk.
My bad. Yeah.
I don't even know a squad. It's terrible.
But my squad ain't playing right now. 9 a.m.
Seahawk.
Entrance by.
He's a Seahawk.
He's a Seahawk.
Yeah, he's a Seahawk.
He's on tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
I only want to remember him as a 49er too, Jason, so.
No, he's got a better jersey on right now.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. Helmet. Matter of fact, it's going to be my first helmet.
You're buying his helmet?
No, I'm going to ask him to send me one autographed. Am I buying it? Do I look like I want to I try to where I can? I'm asking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ask for me.
Yeah.
It is time for...
Going for a helmet.
The crossover.
What's happening on the Carmichael Dave Show? Let's find out right now with the crossover.
Do you believe it?
Here's today's crossover.
All right, crossover question for the two of you. I'll ask you the same question I asked on Twitter. This is one of those I don't even want to talk about it, but of course we're going to talk about it questions. The Ben Simmons rumors are all over the place, and I know we probably all feel the same about participating in trade hyperbole, but I do really want your opinion on this. Let's say the trade was going down, and let's just say for fun, Daryl Morey said to you, the GM, I'll let you trade me either De'Aaron Fox or Tyrese Halliburton, but you got to give me one of those along with, I don't know, Buddy Hield to pick. You got to give me either De'Aaron or Tyrese Halliburton in this Ben Simmons trade. My question to the both of you is this, taking age, contract, obviously talent, everything into account, but those as well. Are the Sacramento Kings better served if this hypothetical situation were to happen with Ben Simmons and De'Aaron Fox or Ben Simmons and Tyrese Halliburton? Say it with your chest, Doug.
I'm going.
Spot.
I'm going to, actually.
Say it with your chest.
Yes.
Also, Doug, which was tougher, the Giannis block or the LeBron block? I know you've already talked about this, but I said earlier I wanted your opinion on that. So kind of a bonus question there. Have a great rest of the 2 minutes of your show, guys.
Yeah, I gave him that answer in the hallway so I don't have to worry about that.
Which you said the LeBron.
Yeah. I'm not doing it.
No, but you have to pick one.
I don't have to pick one. I'm not doing it. I'm not. It's not happening.
I know it's not, but he gave a hypothetical.
Yeah, well, that's his stupid fault.
Okay, I'll answer it.
Okay.
Halliburton.
What?
And Simmons.
Together?
I mean, I'm not doing it either. The premise, no, I'm not giving rid of either one, but he said Simmons and Fox or Simmons and Halliburton. I would say Simmons and Halliburton. Okay. Just because Halliburton, I think, can play with. Not that Fox is. He's great. He's a better player. Like, just. I answered.
It's not that. It's like you're putting me in charge. I'm not doing it. I'm hanging up the phone. You're not getting that.
Yeah.
You want something else? Okay. We can make it happen. That is off limits.
Okay.
I draw the line. I have a cleaver. Put your hand in there if you want to. Hiya! Hunter! I draw the line sometimes.
I already got out.
Out. hot hands?
Hot hands.
Yeah, I got you. It's not a thing. No. So, Dave, think of another stupid question.
Mike on YouTube agrees. No, don't trade either, Fox. That is the premise, of course. I don't think Dave wants to do that either. I know he said that. It's just if. But you're just backing out. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm not. I answered the question.
No, you did.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
The question was Fox and Simmons.
I'm not doing it. No, Chris, we'll go when we're ready, Chris. It's not happening. Thank you.
You listened to Chris. You didn't listen to the question.
Dave's questions aren't good.
That's it for us. We are done. We're going to be back tomorrow. Have a great rest of your night right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.